All right, fill them with your word. And God bless the service. In your name, amen.
Amen. All right, the title of the sermon tonight is Bible Boot Camp Basic Training. Bible Boot Camp Basic Training. So I didn't want to come with a super complicated sermon tonight. I just wanted to preach something simple, you know. Amen. And sometimes it's good to just preach something simple. And hopefully you guys can get something out of this. And I just want to say thank you again for all the hospitality that we've gotten since we've been here. Thanks for giving us rides everywhere, Brother Chris. And we just appreciate the spirit of this church, and everything's been great. And I can just tell this church is going to go big places. Amen.
Amen.
So, all right. So we're in 2 Timothy 2. Look at verse 1. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things which thou hast heard of me of many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for, Lord, the wonderful time we've had here in Boise. And Lord, I just pray that you'd just be with me as I preach. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. And Lord, I pray that the congregation here would be edified by the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. So if you want to be, this morning I talked about, you know, becoming a mighty man or a mighty woman of God, right? And how you don't just, you know, get saved and all of a sudden you're just mighty in the scriptures. You're the best soul winner. There's things that, you know, you're not a prayer warrior necessarily right off the bat. And, you know, obviously when you got saved, you probably hadn't even read the Bible cover to cover. And I don't know who's read the Bible cover to cover in here or anything like that. But the road to becoming a mighty man or a mighty woman of God is to, you got to get the basics down first, right?
Yeah.
So, in the military, you got to go through what's called basic training. And even the officers have to go through basic training. Everybody has to get that foundational training to become like a real soldier in the military, has to do certain things to become a soldier. They have to learn how to march. They have to learn how to take orders. They have to learn how to salute and all those things. And it's not much different for a Christian. We have to learn how to be strong in the faith, how to be a good soldier, just like it's talking here, and to be able to endure hardness. How are you going to endure hardness if you've never gone through the training before? If you don't know what you're doing. So it's just like the same thing if you start a new job. I mean, I wasn't in the military, so I don't know exactly what boot camp is like. I've seen movies. I've seen, you know, I've seen like news clips and stuff like that where, you know, they're getting yelled at and screamed at. And, you know, "You're a puke. You maggot. Get down and give me 20 push-ups," or whatever. You know, the Christian boot camp isn't exactly like that. So I won't be calling you maggots anytime soon or anything like that. So be thankful for that. But you know, if you start a new job, you have to go through orientation, right? I mean, most places have to put you to that orientation where you're sleeping through the first, you know, 3 days, and you're just like so tired from having to fill out all those forms. But then once you fill out the forms and you get on board with the orientation, then you have to start the on-the-job training, right? And nobody just jumps into a job that they've never done before and just knows how to do it. I mean, some people are naturals at things, obviously. But, you know, nobody is just 100% dialed in from the day they start a new job. And it's the same thing with Christianity. You have to learn to walk. You have to learn and take baby steps to get to where you're gonna be, a mighty man or a mighty woman of God. Amen? So, again, let's look at the scriptures here. It says, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who are able to teach others also. Now, this is Paul, the apostle, is talking to about Timothy here, who is a pastor, you know, and obviously he's being told to train other men to do the same thing. Look, you can be trained to teach other people also. You know, it's not just the pastor that trains people, it's the people in the congregation that train people also. it's not just one person's job. Now, obviously, the pastor takes the oversight of those things, but you have to be willing to learn so that you can teach others also, too. That's how it exponentially grows. You know, God builds the church, but he needs faithful people to be able to attend and to do the things that he wants them to do, right? It says, no man warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So if you're entangled in the things of this life, you're not going to be pleasing God, because he's called you to be a soldier, and you're supposed to endure hardness as a soldier, right? It says that if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. So look, God wants you to be a soldier for him, right? And, you know, we're not looking for G.I. Jane, right? You don't have to shave your head, ladies, or anything like that, right? But look, he wants you to be a soldier in his army. Jesus Christ is looking for a few good men, right? He's looking for a few good ladies to serve in his army.
Right?
It says he's called us to be soldiers, right? So soldiers go into battle, don't they? But you don't go into battle straight out of boot camp. I mean, generally you don't. You still have other trainings that you have to do afterward. Because really the boot camp is just about getting you into shape,
right?
You know, making you grovel at the at the feet of the people that are in charge of you, right? They want to break you down and get you fit to serve in the battle. So I'm just going to give you five basic things to help you become a great soldier in the Lord's army tonight. So number one, what's the number one thing? I believe the number one thing is Bible reading.
Amen.
The first thing you got to do is just get in this book and start reading it, okay? Whether you start in Matthew, whether you start in Genesis, whether you start in John, I mean, I think John's a good place to start because it's the easiest book in the Bible to understand. But some people would say, well, I think you should start in Genesis and go all the way through. Some people say you should start in Matthew because it's the New Testament. And that's what we follow. Okay, that's fine. Whatever you do, just get into it.
Right?
A lot of people start reading in Matthew and then don't get past the first few chapters. Some people start reading in Genesis. They've read Genesis 1:1 a lot. They've read Genesis chapter 1 a lot of times. A lot of people, Matthew 1 and Genesis 1 are probably the most read chapters in the Bible,
yep.
I would say. But, you know, you have to keep going. And just like God, you know, he expects us to keep reading his word, right? Do you think he wants us to know the whole Bible?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, of course he does. So turn over to 1 Peter 2:2. See, when you start out as a baby Christian, you know, God doesn't expect you to know the deep things that he teaches in the Word of God. You gotta start somewhere. Where do babies start? Babies start with milk, right? So little Jethro, he wouldn't be able to eat a steak dinner tonight, would he? He couldn't go to get a Fort Worth ribeye tonight and sit down and eat that, could he? He has to drink milk to get bigger. And God expects us as Christians, as baby Christians, to drink milk first. You got to drink the milk of the Word. So 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. So God expects you, first of all, as a baby Christian, to start drinking that milk. Start reading the Word of God. And what's more milky than John? The book of John teaches you how to get saved. It teaches you that it's by faith alone, right? That it's eternal security. Those are some good things to know. Those are some good things to get grounded in and rooted in. Turn over to Hebrews 5, verse 12. Hebrews 5, verse number 12. Now, I know you all ate pizza just a little while ago, and you're kind of feeling that pizza hangover. But you guys need to wake up a little bit, all right?
No.
All right, Hebrews 5:12, let's go. For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of the use of their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So, strong meat, the Fort Worth ribeye, Any kind of strong meat belongs to those that are of full age. You got to have teeth to chew on meat, right? And you got to not, and babies don't have teeth until they get a little older, right? So to, in order to eat the strong words of God, that you got to be past the baby stages. So you shouldn't be trying to, you know, teenagers a lot of times want to be grown up, or little, or kids, they want to be grown up and they have brothers and sisters that are older than them. They want to try to hang with the big dogs, right? But the thing is that that's, you know, you should just be your age, do what you're supposed to do, and grow in a right order. Because see, a lot of people like to just watch YouTube videos, and that's their source of Bible reading.
Right.
They'll sit there without a Bible in front of them and watch video after video after video, and you think that that is a supplement for reading God's Word. Well, it's not. Okay? I like to watch YouTube videos. I like to watch internet preachers. I like to watch anybody that you probably like to listen to, right? As long as it's not Sam Gipp. But, you know, I like to watch it too, but, you know, you got to put some time in this book right here.
Yeah.
You got to put your time in the morning. You got to put your time in the evening, okay?
Right.
And if you can fit some stuff in between, that's good too. So turn over to, let's see, Joshua chapter 1. See, because what happens if you skip the milk and go right to the meat? If you don't have any teeth to eat the word, or, you know, the strong meat of God's word, what's going to happen to a baby if they eat a piece of steak?
Choke.
They're going to choke, right? What's the number one thing that people choke to death on in restaurants? Anybody know that?
Steak.
So, who said steak? You're not right.
French fries.
French fries. Someone said French fries? That's not right either. What's another guess? Yeah.
Bread?
No, it's not bread.
Water.
Milk?
No, it's not water. It's not milk.
Mozzarella sticks.
Somebody say peanut butter?
Peanut butter?
No, it's not peanut butter either. What about?
Donuts.
No. So you know what it is? It's hard-boiled eggs. So when you eat a hard-boiled egg and you try to, you know, it gets caught in your throat, and you try to take a drink of it, then it gets caught in your throat, and people are too ashamed to tell someone they're choking to death on something, so they'll just go to the bathroom and die, you know. But seriously, that's the number one thing people choke to death. That is not part of the sermon whatsoever, but I just wanted to, you know, get you guys involved in it here a little bit, all right? Everybody's like, it's trivia time, all right, I'm into it now. So Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. The Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So what Joshua, one of the greatest leaders of all time in the Bible, he said you shall meditate in the day and night, right? Day and night. So sometime in the daytime, sometime in the nighttime. And you know, you can read the Bible cover to cover 7.5 minutes in the morning, 7.5 minutes in the evening. That, I mean, how much time do you spend doing other stupid stuff? I mean, just think about that for a second. 7.5 minutes. You probably are on Facebook for longer than 7.5 minutes, aren't you? You're probably on YouTube for more than 7.5 minutes. But in 7.5 minutes, what's 7.5 plus 7.5? Anybody a math wizard in here?
15.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not a math wizard. 15. So 15 minutes a day. That gets you through the Bible cover to cover in 1 year. 15 minutes a day. That's pretty easy to do, isn't it? I mean, you take a 15-minute break at work. Now that's break time. Oh, I want to eat my sandwich. No, get in the Word of God.
Amen.
Take every opportunity. You know, in the morning time, before you do anything, we get a cup of coffee, sit down, read 7.5 minutes of the Word of God. If you can't get 7.5 minutes in, just do 5 minutes. You know, do 5, 10, 15, right? That's easy math, right? Morning time, lunch time, evening time. Sometimes we're working real hard and it seems like it's hard to just fit God's word in there. But that shouldn't be so for Christians,
right?
Especially for Christians in this movement.
Amen.
This church right here, 15 minutes is the bare minimum. That should be the bare minimum. So so what happens if you read it for a half hour a day? How many times are you going to read the Bible cover to cover? Two times. So if you read a half hour, that's two times through the Bible in 1 year. If you're a moderately quick reader. Now, if you're just like, If you read like me, then it might take you a little longer. But anyway, I'm just kidding. But yeah, I mean, 7.5 minutes in the morning, 7.5 minutes in the evening. That's not a long time. That's one time through the Bible. Half hour per day, that's two times through the Bible. So what if it's an hour?
Four
times. An hour's a long time to read. So you might have to break that up. You know, the Bible, it's tough to read an hour straight sometimes, but you know, a hardened soldier can do it. So build your way up to stuff like that. I mean, and obviously that might not be a sustainable model for you, you know, but you young men in here that want to be pastors someday, you know, start reading now. Get that prerequisite out of the way. So Pastor Menes requires 10 times through the Bible to be considered not a novice in Bible reading. So if you've read the Bible cover to cover 10 times, then you've already got one of the checklists out of the way. And, you know, of course, you have to get married, you have to have children and things like that. So don't put the cart before the horse, guys, but, you know, get that Bible reading done. Matthew chapter 4:4, I'll just read that for you. And if you want to flip there, you can. It says, "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So does he want you to read almost all the words? Or does he want you to read all the words? Every word, that's what he wants. So cover to cover, you can do it. Make a Bible reading plan for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, there's apps out there that you can just say, I want a one-year Bible. And you can just read your one-year checklist, and then you're done. You got it done. But don't stop there. You don't want to stop at one time through. Just keep going. You know, read the Bible one time, cover to cover, every year. Number two tonight, prayer. Turn over to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. And what are we talking about? We're talking about things that will help you to become a good soldier for Jesus Christ. Number two, prayer. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Be careful in nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So you're not supposed, so be careful for nothing. It's talking about, don't be full of care. Don't be worried about everything all the time. "In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." You know, look, you don't just pray one time and that's it. Do you? I mean, you should be praying on a regular basis. You should be praying and calling on the name of the Lord in a daily, on a daily basis. And I'm not saying to be saved. You do that one time, right? That's called being born again. But you call upon, you should be calling upon the name of the Lord multiple times a day. You know, are all your needs met? Or are you just trying to fix everything by yourself? You know, God wants us to continue in prayer. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And you're like, "Oh, Brother Aaron, this is so basic stuff. I mean, you came all the way over here to Vancouver, from Vancouver, Washington to teach us basic stuff." Yeah, you need the basic stuff.
Right.
That's the problem. That's where our Baptist churches have gone off the rails. They just don't even stick to the main things, the basic things that you need. Let's see. 1 Thessalonians 5:7 says, "Pray without ceasing." Pray without ceasing. "And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So if you pray without ceasing, is that, you know, does everybody pray without ceasing? So, like, it says that's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So, but really what it's saying, though, is that you should not stop praying. Prayer life going. Because, you know, what are you even doing this for if God is not the one that does everything for you? You know what I mean? God wants to hear from you. So what do we teach in soul winning? That he becomes your father. John 1:12, right? It says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Once you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God becomes your father. And he wants to hear. I mean, does your dad want to hear from you? Your dad here on the earth? Of course. So, I mean, I don't know what everybody's situation is. Maybe your dad doesn't want to hear from you, but you know, maybe he's heard the gospel. But, you know, I don't want to hear the gospel anymore from you. But in general, most dads want to hear from their children, right? And, you know, most dads are going to give their children the things that they need and the things that they want sometimes. We have way more than what we need. You know, the Bible says with food and raiment, we should be content therewith. But who here has more than food and raiment? Almost everybody. I think everybody. All right? So God gives us way more than what we deserve, way more than what we need.
Right.
And, you know, he wants us to pray to him. Turn to James chapter 4, verse 2. James chapter 4, verse number 2. James 4, 2 says, "You lust and have not, you kill, and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not, because you ask not." See, a lot of times the things that we don't have things because we don't ask God. You know, instead we fight in war with each other, and, you know, I don't kill people generally, but, you know, if they get me mad enough, no, I'm just kidding. I don't kill people. But anyway, you know, we have not because we ask not. We ask and receive not because you ask amiss. And asking amiss is just asking for things that God doesn't want you to have. You're asking for something that's ridiculous. Oh, please, God, give me the new Lamborghini that I've been asking for so long. That's asking amiss. Please, God, let me win the lottery this time. I promise I'll stop playing the scratch-off tickets. That's a dumb thing to ask for.
Yeah.
He doesn't want you to play the scratch-off games in the first place.
Amen.
Right? So, because it says that you may consume it upon your lust. He's not interested in hearing about the things you want that you want to consume upon your lust. You know, please get me every single new DVD that comes out on Blu-ray. That's a dumb thing to ask for. You know, you're asking amiss. What does God want to hear? He wants to hear the things that you need. He wants you to tell him you love him. You tell God you love him sometimes? You probably should. If you love God, you should tell him sometimes, right? Or tell him thank you. It says with thanksgiving. You know, we should be thankful to God for the things that we have.
Amen.
You know, a lot of people in this world are not thankful. And it's an epidemic in this country. People not being thankful for the things they have. They just whine because they don't have the things that they want. You know, that's what happens when you give everybody things for free.
Right.
You know, and it's a sad, sad state in America. So number three tonight, soul winning. So you got to get the basics down in soul winning. So we're learning here, right? Who's still learning about soul winning? I'm still learning about soul winning.
Amen.
The Bible says in Proverbs 11:30, it says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. So, do you want to be wise? Of course you do. And if you win souls, the Bible says you're wise. All right. Turn to Jude 1:22, or just Jude 22, whatever you want to call it. I'm gonna read for you in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature." So God wants us to preach the gospel to everybody that we see, everybody that's willing to listen. Now, I walked up to a guy's door and knocked on it, and all of a sudden the window slid open, and he said, you know, basically, "What do you want?" He's like, "Oh, we're just inviting you to church." He's like, "Well, I can't go anyplace. I got health problems." I was like, "All right, well, more importantly than going to church, you know, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven?" He's like, "I don't want to listen to your questions. I'm going to die soon anyway." And he's just like, "I'm not interested in answering your questions." I'm like, "All right, have a nice day." Some people don't want to hear, you know. What's worse than someone that's about to die that just rejects the gospel? The guy's, you know, so I said earlier not to just throw out the reprobate card. The guy's old. He's about to die. And his last chance just walked up and knocked on his door. And what's he telling me? "I don't want to hear what you have to say. I don't want to answer your questions." You know, that's wicked. And that guy is a reprobate. All right? Unless somebody comes to his door and tomorrow, is that going to happen probably? No. This is the only church that I know of besides, you know, who knows, that's going actual real soul winning here.
Yeah.
And when's the next time you're planning on knocking the doors right around the corner? Well, maybe you'll do it soon. But he said he's on his deathbed. And he doesn't want to hear the gospel. But see, we got to know what to say to people. We were talking about this earlier. You got to know when to shut down a conversation too.
Right.
You know, why keep pushing with someone that's being like that?
Right.
You know, sometimes we get too pushy. You know, but as you go soul winning, as you become a trained soldier, as you get better at soul winning, you're going to know Like, I was with Robert, and I'd never gone soul winning with him before. And sometimes, you know, I've been out doing it for so long, I can read people really quickly. And, you know, when they start walking away and the door starts shutting as you're trying to talk to them, that's a pretty good sign they don't want to listen to you, you know. But I just said, yeah, that person wasn't interested. And he picked up that, you know, he's like, you know, I read the body language, you know. He didn't want to hear. But, you know, those are things that you learn as you keep going. You're not going to pick up everything right away. Now, look, I still don't know everything. I'm not saying I do. But the more you go soul winning, the better you get at reading people. You know, the less you're going to be rambling on with someone that is clearly not interested. You know, and some people just aren't interested. Don't try to kick that door open when you don't need to. If they say, no, I'm not interested, that's the time you say, okay, thank you, have a nice day, and walk off. That's God's clue to tell you they're not interested.
Right.
You know, and we shouldn't be just shoving the Bible down people's throats, right? You walk up, you say, hey, can I show you from the Bible what it says, how to get to heaven? And they say, no thanks. All right, have a nice day. Just that simple. But you see their situation, you feel bad for them, but you know, if they wanted to hear the gospel, they would have said yes. And people do say yes. You know, but you want to get to the next door that's going to be receptive.
Right.
You know, and think about this. If you keep beating down that door trying to get them to listen to you, someone else is going to be going to hell because your time's up and you wasted on somebody that said, no, I don't want to hear it in the first place. You understand what I mean? I mean, that's just a common sense thing that you learn out soul winning. So you're in Jude 1:22 or Jude 22, whatever you want to call it. It says that some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now, having compassion is making a difference, right? And it says, with others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Sometimes you have to tell people, look, you're going to go to hell for all eternity. You're rejecting the gospel right now. Because sometimes someone will let you talk, and then at the end they just say no. Or they say, no, I don't want to pray with you right now, or whatever. That's the time to warn people and tell them. You know, and obviously you're at their door, so having a little tact while telling someone they're going to hell is kind of important, you know. And I don't know, you know, you'll find a balance there. But just telling someone they're going to hell is not an easy thing to do as a new soul winner. You know, you're just like, you're going to hell. By the way, you're going to hell. And you just walk off. There is a tactful way to do it, you know. Just, I mean, what I usually say to someone is I usually say, like, hey, you know I'm at your door and I'm your guest here, but I just care about you and I don't want you to go to hell. And the Bible says if you don't believe on Lord Jesus Christ, you will go to hell for all eternity. Think about those things, or you know, something along those lines. And usually people take that pretty well. You know, not everybody does. You know, you might be like Robert over in Vancouver, who guy just started swinging on him for no reason. You know, so hopefully that never happens to you guys. That's honestly, don't be afraid of that,
right?
Because that is, I've never seen that happen before. So that's a very rare deal. And usually it'll probably be Brother Chris the one that they want to hit Brother Chris instead of you, so I'm just kidding. He's like, why me? No, I'm kidding. He's like, he won't be so nice though. All right, so moving on, let's go to church attendance. So number four tonight is church attendance. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse number 24. You know, the schedule's kind of different here right now. It's like, you don't know, you know, I mean, you're trying to make it known as fast as you possibly can that there might not be an afternoon service. And, that's going to change. Eventually, it's going to be a rock-solid time. You'll have a Wednesday night service or Thursday night service or something. But for now, when the doors are open, that's when you should be here. There was 45 people here this morning. There's not 45 people here tonight because... You know, some people just don't find it that important to be at all services. You know, it's just the way it is. But look at Hebrews 10:24. It says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So the closer we get to the day of Christ, the closer we get to when Christ comes back and returns, it says we're supposed to be going to church more, right? Because the assembling of ourselves together is going to church. You know, people will go, where does it say to go to church in the Bible? I just had somebody comment on one of my YouTube videos about that, and they're like, where does it say that? It's like right here. And in Acts chapter 2, it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all it with one accord in one place. What do you think that was talking about? That they were all gathered together in one place. What are we doing right now? Are we all gathered together in one place? Are we all in one accord for the gospel? We're all here. We have received the knowledge of the truth. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. So God doesn't take it lightly if you just skip church for no reason. That's what he's trying to say. You're not supposed to forsake the assembling of yourselves together in a church service. You know, God wants you to love and provoke each other to good works. How are you going to love and provoke each other to good works if you're not here? You know, maybe the sermon that's preached was something that you needed to hear, but you decided to stay home and play Nintendo instead. Or you decided to go to the movies instead. Or you just said, you know, this church stuff is just getting to be a little too much. You know, they just expect us to be there all the time. I don't expect you to be here all the time. God expects you to be here all the time because he says to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, right? So it's God, it's not me. Don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you what God said. You know, you're supposed to be at church, and this church, you know, you're fortunate, I guess, in a way. You only have one service next week, so you can go fishing or whatever you want afterwards, right? We have three services a week at our church right now, so we don't have downtime. So you got more downtime than we do. So, you know, be fortunate with that. But I'm sure you want to strive to have more church services, though, right?
Right.
I mean, that's the way you're going to grow. You're not going to grow just one service a week. And obviously, that's going to take off as the days go by here. But God wants you. The Bible says in Psalm 122:1, it says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Are you glad to go into the house of the Lord? Or are you dreading it? You know, you're not too far along here right now. So you shouldn't be dreading it already. You should be happy to come to church. Amen?
Amen.
And, you know, don't forget the feeling of having to be in a lame church. Don't forget the feeling of just sitting through sermon after sermon of grace, 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 money, money, money. Grace, money, grace, money, 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 grace. Right? I mean, that's what it basically is. Funny story, money, grace. Money, funny story, grace. You know, I mean, it's just the same thing. It's like those little, you know. That's exactly what it is. We're going to do, you know, we just finished our series on grace. And next week, we're going to start a new series on more grace. Right? That's basically what those church services are like. They're super lame. Now we're going to do a 7-week series on tithing. Give me that money. You know, sermons on tithing. I've heard quite a bit of them. You know, and people hate sermons on tithing, but they are necessary. So you should be tithing, right? Amen?
Amen.
That's a basic thing. So, you know, we should be attending church. We should be reading our Bible. We should be praying. We should be soul winning. And look, the more you do it, the less basic you're going to be. You know, in 2 years from now, if I ever come back here again, which I hope I will get to, but if I come back here again, I'm expecting to see a bigger church. I'm expecting to see more talkers and more silent partners. You know, that's just how it works. That's how God grows churches. You know, you guys become experts in soul winning, God's going to build this church. You know, but here's the thing. So Pastor Menes does have a series that he does. Who's watched that? Okay. Anybody that's not raising their hand should watch it.
Yeah.
If you go soul winning, you should, I mean, you're in, what church is this again? Verity Baptist Church. Yeah, so Pastor Menes is your pastor. So don't you think you should learn how to go soul winning the way Pastor Menes goes?
Amen.
His soul winning plan is excellent. He is an excellent soul winner. Don't tell him I told you that. But he is. He's good. So, and he taught me a lot of things. just going with him the few times that I've got to go with him, someone, he taught me a lot of things. And, you know, you should watch that series. You can print off, you know, and I'm sure he's probably going to do some kind of a training program with you. So, but to know what to say, what to do, how to fold the invites into the door. I don't know if you noticed, Brother Robert, but when I fold those invites in someone's door, they always face, we'll see, well, there's one right here. This is something that'll tick Pastor Miz off, just so you know. I'll give you a little tip here. So when you put this in the door, he wants this to face out. So like when he's sticking the handle, it should be sticking out like this. If it's sticking out like this, no, that's bad. No, don't do that. So anyway, that's just something that's like his type A personality, but I'm the same way when it comes to stuff like that.
Amen.
It's just when I see someone do it, I just like, but you know, people don't know. Now you know. Now you're without excuse. So, but okay, so on to the last one here. Church work. The last thing here. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter number 12. Romans 12, look at verse number 11. It says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So what does it mean to be slothful? It means to be lazy. Needs to be sluggish. It's someone that doesn't want to work. And it says, but followers of them, that's not where I was at. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about church work. So there's things that need to be done. You know, this house has been opened up to you to be used as a church. Do you help clean up afterwards? That's church work. You know, some people think it's just soul winning. Oh, well, I showed up and I went soul winning. Great, you did your duty. But, you know, did you help clean up? Did you pull the goat heads out of the floor so that Mike didn't have to step on them when he was vacuuming? Anyway, help out. Do what you can. You know, many hands make light work. Have you ever heard that saying before? It's true, you know? So when the service is over, if everybody just buzzsaws through everything, folds up, do you fold up the chairs? I don't know, okay. Fold up the chairs. Clean up all the stuff, you know, make sure that, you know, your stuff's all picked up. That's church work. That is included in church work. You know, the Levites, you know, they got paid by the tithes and offerings, right? But they lived off those things. So, you know, but what did they do? They did physical work around the house of the Lord. You know, so church work isn't just the spiritual part, it's physical labor too. And so, you know, you see a piece of paper laying on the ground, bend over, pick it up. You know, just stuff like that can help your church immensely. You don't even know. And I'll tell you, you know, I've told Brother Dylan those my pet peeves about walking into the church building and seeing like styrofoam cups underneath the pews and stuff like that. That kind of stuff just drives me nuts. Or someone said something about the coffee cup being on the pulpit or something. That drives me nuts when I walk in and I see someone's like coffee cup sitting on top of the pulpit. I don't know why. It just does, you know. Because God wants things done decently and in order.
Amen.
Okay? He doesn't want it to look like Hurricane Katrina hit the church building before the service starts. Right. Now, during the services, obviously, people are going to make messes and stuff like that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when it's time to clean up. When it's time to have the church looking nice is when the visitors are walking in the door, right? When they walk in, it looks like, and the kids are swinging from the chandeliers, and the parents are talking and not paying attention to what their kids are doing. And there's papers and garbage all over the place. They're gonna walk in and go, not coming back here again. You know, you don't wanna put that impression on people. And obviously, you're already gonna have a hard enough time getting people to come here because it's in a house.
Yeah.
They're gonna pull up and they're gonna go, where's the sign at? You know, obviously that's gonna get fixed at some point. I had a good idea for a flag out front. One side, what was it? One side?
What Pastor Jimenez has behind that.
Oh yeah, the whole world may know. And then you have that on one side, then on the other side, the church verse. Then people will know. You can see the flag flying forever. Don't let that flag hit the ground, brother. Just kidding. But don't preach about that last week. Anyway, so Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. I'm almost done. Hebrews 6, verse 12 says, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. That so that God doesn't want you to be slothful. He doesn't want you to be lazy. He wants you to follow those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, who are we supposed to follow? People like Moses, people like Samson, you know, and then people amongst us. You see that person has, you know, that they're not lazy. They're doing all the things, you know, that God wants them to do. You follow that person. Don't pick the lazy, you know, bum that doesn't help out around here to follow. I'm not saying that there is a lazy bum. Nobody talked to me before the service, I promise you that. But I'm just saying in general, okay? You know, don't be a lazy person and don't follow someone that's a lazy person. Follow someone that's doing what God wants them to do. All right? And then turn over to Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Colossians 3, verse 23. It says, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Because ultimately, who are you working for when you're doing church work? You're working for the Lord.
Amen.
You know, so you should do everything that you do as like you're doing it unto the Lord, because you are doing it for the Lord. Because if you're doing it for someone else besides the Lord, then you're not doing it for the right reasons, are you? If you're doing it to be seen of men or to get praise of people, you've already got your reward. So do your church work, the things around the church, you know, as you would do it for God, because that's who you're doing it for anyway. Turn over to Isaiah 40, verse 31. I'm going to read for you in Proverbs 16, verse 3. Proverbs 16, verse 3 says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. So if you commit your works unto the Lord, you know what? People do all kinds of different works in this world. And it's, you know, they give all these different telethons, and they, you know, Boy Scout cookies and Girl Scout cookies and just all this other junk. There's so much, you know, people are always passing stuff around at work. Oh, you know, support my kids' football team with their cookies, or, you know, just any kind of fundraiser. There's fundraisers going on 24/7. Who's been hit up with fundraisers before? Big time, right? It's always this time of year. You got to just don't answer your door. You know, don't put the no soliciting sign up for a couple months. The football teams will be coming around knocking on your doors. But, you know, commit your works unto the Lord, not unto things that just don't matter. You know, I don't ever give money to charity unless it's for God's house. Because we're the ones that are doing the charity. You know, I don't give to, like, you know, Meals on Wheels and things like that. Not that I think that's necessarily a bad thing. I'm just saying that I just put my money into the local church because I know that what we're doing with that money is what matters.
Amen.
Right? Going soul winning, getting people saved, that's where that money goes. And it's a lot more valuable to get someone's soul saved than it is, you know, to make sure they got a meal last week or whatever. I mean, obviously, doing good works in those areas are good too. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that I don't give to anything but, like, be able to ring the bell. What is that, the Salvation Army? I don't give them a dime. First of all, they preach a false gospel.
Yeah.
Okay, repent of your sins, lordship, salvation. I'm not going to give a dime to them. I'm going to give it to my local church. But anyway, you're in Isaiah 40, verse 31. It's the last, not the last verse, but it's one of the last verses. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. See, if you commit your works unto the Lord, He's going to take care of you. He's going to lift you up. He's going to make sure that you have strength to get through from day to day. And look, I get tired. I get weary. I was yawning last night. Brother Chris was like, hey, man, you want me to take you back to the room? I was like, man, I'm always doing that now. I'm always tired. But sometimes you just got to stop and say, God, give me the strength to get through. And what's it say? If you wait upon the Lord, He'll renew your strength. You know, the little kids are going to get tired. The young men are going to get tired, but an old man like me, I'm going to keep going because God's going to give me the strength to keep going and keep working for Him. and doing what's right.
Amen.
Turn to Galatians 6:9. It's the last verse we'll turn to. And yeah, I know this sermon was very basic, all right? But it was meant to be. So, you know, it's not always going to be some complicated, you know, some people just want the latest and greatest that they've never heard before.
Yeah.
You know, but sometimes it's just good to teach the Bible straight.
Amen.
And, you know, to get the basics down, right?
Good.
Galatians 6, verse 9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." I was going to make one of my points, but it kind of goes along with the verse in Isaiah 40, verse 31. You know, if you faint not, God's going to make sure that you reap. So that's the number one thing. We've had people quit in our church. We had people quit within the first few months of our church starting. People that we thought were going to still be there are gone. They're completely out of church. And it will happen here. There's going to be people that will fall off. You know, I don't know who they are. But, you know, you got to be willing to keep working and not to faint. Count on the Lord for your strength. And, you know, your family's going to persecute you. Your old friends are going to persecute you. People are going to think you're weird because you go and knock on people's doors. They'll go, what are you, a Jehovah's Witness? No, I'm a Baptist. That's what I am.
Amen.
Yeah, I go knock doors because the Baptists are the ones that are supposed to be knocking the doors. The Christians, the real Christians
right. That
believe the right things. It's not crazy. That's what the Apostle Paul did. He went daily from house to house.
Amen.
You know, he went everywhere preaching the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And to go house to house, it says daily and in every house, he ceased not to preach and teach Jesus Christ, right? So that means he had to go to their houses, right? He had to knock on the doors, if they had doors. I don't know if they had doors because they were on the Mediterranean. I don't know. They had door jams, maybe curtains. Rustle their curtains. I don't know. Just kidding. Anyway. But, you know, I know, like I said, this is a basic sermon, but, you know, they're good things. Hopefully you wrote some of this stuff down, and you don't forget, you need to be in your Bible day and night. Okay? Even if you're just reading it for a short amount of time, at least you're reading it. Get through the Bible cover to cover, you know? And then you can say, well, I'm a toddler. I'm going to go through my terrible twos. And then, you know, you get to three, and three is pretty bad still. But, you know, I'm just kidding. But the thing is, the more you read your Bible, the more you're going to know. And, you know, the more you go soul winning, the better you're going to get. The better and more comfortable you're going to get. The more you go to God in prayer, the more he's going to answer your prayers. Because he's not going to answer prayers that you don't give to him. You know what I mean? You know, work for the Lord. He's going to renew your strength. Don't quit. And anyway, let's have a word of prayer and ask God to bless us as we go home. Lord, we thank you so much for your word, and we ask, Lord, that you would just bless and put your mighty hand on this church. Lord, help the people not to quit. Lord, help the people to be grounded and rooted in your word. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help them to be a people of prayer, Lord, and they wouldn't forget to call upon your name. And I just pray, Lord, that you'd bless this church mightily, Lord, and Lord, that the next time I come here, it's increased in spiritual knowledge and